Well, turning your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. This morning we're going to look at the birth of Christ. It's Christmas. It'll be here soon. Before we know it, I can hardly wait. We're going to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we gather together this morning, family and friends, and the reason that we worship today is we want to think about the birth of the one who was born to save. Most of the time when you think about Christmas messages, we go to Matthew or Luke to see the birth of Christ. But this morning, we're in Galatians 4. We've been studying the book of Galatians. But in this book, in this letter, Paul actually talks about the birth of the Savior. In fact, there's two things we'll look at as we see it. We're going to see the background concerning the birth of Christ, what he says about it, and then the purpose of the birth. Why did the Son of God come into the world? And we think about worshiping our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we focus on the Word of God this morning. So there's some great things there. When you think about the Bible and you think about Christmas, we think about Luke. Luke gives us this beautiful picture of the birth of Jesus Christ. We see the baby wrapped in, as it used to be, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a feed trough in a manger, and the shepherds were abiding in the, you know, over their box, over their animals, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and they were so afraid, and they went and saw the Messiah. And then you go to the Gospel of Matthew, and you see these men, these magi from the east, coming 3 years, maybe 2 years later after the birth of the Christ, and they're coming to see the one who was born King of the Jews. And then you go to the Gospel of John, and he simply puts it this way. He says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Realize the birth of Jesus Christ is one of the greatest events of all history, because God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Jesus Christ is God's provision to deal with our sins. We thank God for the gift of his Son. As we look at Galatians chapter 4 this morning, Paul's account of the birth of Christ, even doesn't just say it's the birth, but he writes in there as he's talking about great truths about how to live, how to be saved, and how to have live the Christian life. He talks about two things, and we're going to see it as we look at it. We're going to see what God did, and that's the background, and then the purpose. And we mentioned it a while ago. Why would the Son of God leave the glories of heaven and become a human being? Think about that. As we look forward to Christmas, we want to focus on the birth of our Savior. And of course, next week we're going to have a Christmas message. And then, of course, Christmas Eve, we'll look again at the birth. So there's some great things. As we begin, you know, Paul is writing to the church of the churches of Galatia, and he's proclaiming to them about the truth and the grace of God and the freedom that we have. But in chapter 4, he reminds them of salvation being a gift, but he actually mentions the birth of Jesus Christ. And let's see that, and let's start first with some background. The background concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4 of Galatians chapter 4. He says, "But when the fullness of time came," when the fullness of the time came, "God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." Now, the first thing I want you to notice, it says, "When the fullness of time came." The word "fullness of time" actually means this. It has the idea of at the complete time or at exactly the right time. You know, sometimes you've done something, you say, "Oh, that was just perfect. That happened at exactly the right time." Well, this is what this passage says. It says, "When exactly the right time came, God sent forth his Son." See, realize that word "complete" is like to fill up a vessel. He's like, "Oh, that's just right. That's just right. Thank you. That's perfect." See, God is in control, and he's working all things according to the counsel of his will. And at exactly the right time, he sent his Son into the world. You look back on human history, and you think of Adam and Eve and Abraham and David and Daniel, and we realize that all these people lived, but it wasn't the right time for the Messiah, that at exactly the right time, Jesus Christ came. Have you thought about when he came and how perfect it was? It was the perfect time for the Messiah. Think about what was going on. At that time, Rome ruled the world, and there was one language, and that was Greek. Because of Alexander the Great, he had this language that he wanted everybody to know, and it was a very specific language. Greek is very specific. And so there was one language, and even though there were all these different countries, everybody spoke Greek. And then there was one political government. The Roman Empire ruled the world. They had what they called Pax Romana, which means the peace of Rome, that Rome controlled everything. And then there was a road system set up by the Romans that you could travel all over the Roman Empire. There used to be the famous saying that all roads lead to Rome. Everything was set up that the message could be traveled and pushed around and moved around. And finally, the world was ready. And you ever thought about it? The Romans at that time, they had been through all the Greek gods and all the Roman gods. And what they really realized is that their gods were just grown-up big people who did wrong things all the time. That's how they looked at their gods. And even for the Jewish people, they were bankrupt in the world that they realized that legalism of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the stuff that was out there wasn't satisfying. It was time. It was time for God's Savior to come into the world. When you think of God's character, he always does everything at the right time and in the right way. Realize this was the best of all possible plans, the best of all top possible times. And we think about our own lives. We look back at the events in our lives and we go, God is really, he's so great. He worked this out. He worked that out. He works everything at just the right time. And so as we read it, but when the fullness of the time came, exactly at the right time, God sent his son into the world. Notice what it says. God sent forth his son. God sent forth his son. When we think about Christmas, sometimes people think about gifts, but we realize the greatest gift of all was the gift of his son. God sent his son into the world. I read this scene the other day. It said, God gave a gift to mankind and was wrapped up in a baby. And that's what we have, the Messiah, the Son of God. I want you to think about it. It wasn't by chance that Jesus came, and it wasn't man's plan that Jesus came. In fact, if a man came up with a plan to bring the Messiah, he'd come like as the king, and he'd come to the biggest city in the world, and he would be the ruler of everything and everything. But that's not God's plan. God's plan was that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that his son was born in a little bitty town. In fact, outside of town, outside of Bethlehem, not even in a place, not even a room to two parents, so to speak, that were not important at all, not famous at all. That's God's plan. 1 John chapter 4 says this, and this is love. Not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his son as a satisfactory payment for our sin. God loved us and sent forth his son. Now, I want you to think about something that maybe you didn't think about. It says, when the fullness of time came, God brought forth his son. I want you to understand that the Son of God didn't begin at his birth. The Son of God has always existed. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's always existed. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Understand that when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ has always existed as the Son of God. But he was born as a child. I want you to see something. Hold your place right there in Galatians and turn to Isaiah. Just turn back in your Bibles to Isaiah. Sort of get back to Jeremiah, sort of the middle. If you get Song of Solomon, you've gone too far. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. And it's a very, very famous verse. In fact, that video that we saw right at the start of the service had this verse in it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I want you to see something that maybe you've never noticed before. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I hope you're there. Listen to what this says. It says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Now, I want you to notice something. It said the child will be born, and the son will be given. See, the child is born, but the son is given. Son wasn't born. Son has always existed. Son is eternal. There was a child born at a particular time, but the Son of God has always existed. Remember Jesus Christ the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He's always existed. The Son of God has always existed. When it says, for a child, this child will be born, this son, the Son of God, will be given to us. Philippians 2 talks about how he left the glories of heaven and humbled himself to become a human being. You ever thought about the fact that the eternal Son of God, who's always existed, who created all things, who holds all things together, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, limited, humbled himself to become a human being? That's what he did. Notice this passage, for a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And it says, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. He will be a ruler. And he is God. He's, first of all, a king. It says the government will rest on his shoulders. Verse 7 says there will be no end to the increase of his government. He rules forever and ever. You remember the first time Jesus came, born in Bethlehem, he came to die on the cross to pay for sin. The second time he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rule in righteousness and justice. Isaiah says, there's this child born, there's the son given, he will have the government on his shoulders. There will be no end to his government. He's also Mighty God, Prince of Peace. He's the God-man. He is the God-man. There's no end to his rule. He is king and he is God. And that's why it says he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah says there was the Son born into the world. There was the Son who came into the world at exactly the right time. So go back to Galatians. I want you to see it. Go back to Galatians. And we understand that when he says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. We see that this Son is the Son of God. We see this Son is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, I want you to notice how Paul describes this. In the fullness of time, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. Okay, we see that's God sending Jesus into the world. But notice what he says. Two things. He was born of a woman and born under the law. He was born of a... What does all this mean? Why did Paul say that? What does it mean? Well, born of a woman actually means two things. First of all, that he was a person, that he became a human being. That Isaiah says this son will be given, but this child will be born. Jesus Christ became a person. The eternal God became what we call the God-man. He's 100% God and 100% human. We go, that doesn't add up. I know it doesn't. That's because we're finite and he's infinite. And this child, this one, he's actually a person. The eternal God became a human being. When they walked around with Jesus, when that baby was in that manger and they looked at that baby and Mary picked that baby up, that baby is God. He's God as a person. He's God as a human being. Why? Because only the perfect human being can pay for mankind's sins. And Jesus Christ is the mediator. There's one mediator between God and man. It is between God and man, it is the man Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10 says the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Only the perfect man can pay for man's sins. Only the perfect man. So Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, became a person. So when Paul says born of a woman, that's what that means, but there's more. See, born of a woman also means a special worth. Look, I want you to notice, not born of a man and a woman, but of a woman. See, every other human being is born of a man and a woman, the man's seed and the woman. But this goes back all the way to Genesis, when God made a promise that the seed of woman would crush the head of the serpent. Jesus Christ was born by a woman, not the seed of man, but by the Holy Spirit. In fact, Luke says that the Holy Spirit would come upon Mary. She said, how can this possibly be? I'm going to have a baby. And the angel Gabriel said to her, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and that which will be in you is the Son of God, the Eternal One, the Virgin. It's a special birth. A special birth. That was the promise. If you go back to Isaiah 7:14, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the Virgin shall be with child and have a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the sign. The virgin gave birth to the Son of God. And so Paul says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth the Son, first of all, born of a woman, meaning he's a human being, but he's born only of the woman, because that's the promise. The seed of woman will crush the head of the serpent, the virgin birth. But there's more. He says, born under the law. Born under the law. See, he was Jewish. Jesus Christ was born and lived his whole life under the Mosaic law. He came into the world as a Jew. He came into the one under the law. And why did he come? I want you to understand about the law. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill the law. Matthew 5:17. How did he fulfill the law? He did something nobody else did. He kept the law perfectly. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God hath made him who knew no sin. He kept the law perfectly, and he also died on the cross to pay for the penalty of the law. The law says the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die. Jesus Christ came born under the law and kept the law perfectly, which nobody's ever done, and then paid the penalty of the law because he died in our place. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us. He died for us. And so we see that in God's love that he sent the Son to become a man, born of a virgin, under the law. So he could fulfill the law. He could pay for it. Why would he do that? That's amazing. So look what he says. But when the right time came, exactly the right time came, God sent Jesus into the world. That's his son. And he was born of a person. And he became a human being. And at the same time, he was born of a woman without a man, born by the Holy Spirit. And then he was born under law. so that he could keep it perfectly and be the perfect man to pay for sin, so he would be our substitute. Now, he didn't go to all that because he's going to tell us in verse 5 exactly why. Why was the purpose of the birth of Christ? Look what he says. So that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. What was the purpose? Why would God send his son into the world? We know that John 3:17 says he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, when the angel came to Joseph and said, "You shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins." See, Jesus came to be the Savior. He came that he might redeem us. The purpose of sending the Son was twofold: to redeem us and to make us his sons. And this is this passage: that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Why would God so love the world that he would send his son to be born of a virgin, to be born as a human being, to come into this world at exactly the right time, to be born under the law so he could keep the law perfectly? Why? So that he could redeem us and to make us sons of God. Let's talk about redemption for a second. What does it mean to redeem us? See, he says that he might redeem those who are under the law. The word redeem means to purchase by paying a price. In fact, there are three different words in the New Testament for redeem. This one actually means to redeem and to bring out. To redeem and to bring out. It was the idea that there was a market, a slave market, and somebody would come in and purchase a slave and buy them out of the market. This is what he says, that he would redeem us, to purchase us by paying a price. You realize, it says, what, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Did you know that Jesus Christ purchased every one of us? Jesus Christ died in our place. Jesus Christ paid the redemption price. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ died. He paid the price with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He did it. He might redeem those who are under law. That's what it actually says. We're all been bought with a price. We're all under law. Not necessarily under Mosaic law, but we're under the aspect of moral law. They're under the commands of God. They're God's principles for all mankind. In fact, in Romans chapter 2, it says the law, the principles of the law, are written on our hearts. We know right from wrong. We call it a conscience. Everybody has one. We're all under the law in the sense we're all under the conscience. We all know that we don't do right. We all know that we sin. The law is the character of God, and none of us could measure up. He came to redeem those who are under law. We could never, ever measure up. Why? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fall short, come short of the glory of God. Ephesians 2:1, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Trespass means to move across the line. See, not only did we just not measure up to God, even if we were trying to be good, we can't be good, but oftentimes we trespass, we on purpose go against God. So you can't measure up. We talked about it last week in Galatians. The law has a curse. You can't keep it. You can't keep it, and so you're under the curse of the law. So what did Jesus do? He came to redeem us for those who are under the law. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. The word ransom means to pay a price. He paid a price for us. Luke 19:10, Jesus Christ came to seek and save those who are lost. That's us. 1 John 2:2, he is the satisfactory payment. You know what God said? God said, wages of sin is death. Every one of us in this room sinned, and God said, you all owe me death. Pay up. And Jesus said, I'll pay it for them. I'll redeem them. I'll purchase them. I'll pay the price that you demand. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ redeemed us, purchased us, paid the penalty for us. You realize the one born in Bethlehem is the one who would die for us. So he says that he might redeem those who are under law. But there's more. There's more. Look what it says. That we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, I'm not going to go into detail on adoption now. When we get to these verses going through the book of Galatians, we're going to talk more about adoption. But he just mentions this, that not only did Jesus Christ die for us to redeem us, but he planned that we would be adopted as sons. In fact, this actually, literally in the Greek, it says that we might be placed as a son in the family. And I'm going to get to it when we get to the book of Galatians later on, but adoption as sons is a full-grown son with all the privileges of a full-grown son in a family. We'll talk about it when we get to it, but God takes us, and we're no longer separated from the Father. We become a child of God and be born in the family of God. And the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, he says, "You're my son. You're my son." I think one of the greatest things ever is when your children first start calling you, you know, by your name, Daddy. You know, and I remember coming home, and both Catherine and Sarah, they'd come running to the door, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," and you just love to hear Daddy. I'm looking for the name Papa right now. I'm waiting for the grandbaby to come and go, "Papa, Papa, Papa." That'd be really good. But we love to be called Daddy if you're a daddy. Well, guess what? We have a daddy. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us so much, who sent his son to die in our place to redeem us and to place us as children so that we can call him Daddy. Look a little further in the Galatians passage. It says, so that we might redeem, he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, guess what? That's us. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, what? Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word that means daddy. We can cry to God, Daddy, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, slave to sin, but a son of God. And if a son, you're an heir. God so loved us that in exactly the right time, he sent his son, born of a virgin, to become a human being so he could live a perfect life and fulfill the law and pay the penalty for the law so that he might redeem us and purchase every one of us. And then he might place us as children of God. That's who we are. That's because God sent the baby into the world. That's because at this time of the year, and we're thinking about the baby being born in Bethlehem, that baby is not just a baby. That baby is the Son of God. That baby is the Savior of the world. That baby came to redeem us. That baby came to place us as children in the family. God sent Christ to make us his children. Look at this right here. The Son of God became a man so that man can become a son of God. That's us. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become sons of God, even those who believe in his name. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are children of God. His purpose, that he might redeem those who are under the law and that we might receive the adoption as sons. Why is this story so important of the baby being born in Bethlehem? Because God, in his love, at exactly the right time, sent his Son, who is God, to become a man for the purpose of dying and rising again to redeem us and making us children of God. That's what he did. Application. Realize that the baby born in Bethlehem is God. That's who he is. The Son was given. Child was born. The eternal Son of God was given. And when you think of Christmas, think of Emmanuel, the God-man, Jesus Christ becoming a human being. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us at exactly the right time. The second thing is this. Understand the purpose that Jesus Christ came. He came to redeem us, to purchase us by paying a price. He came to make us his sons, his children. He died for us, paying for our sins. That's redemption. By faith, we become children of God. We're born into the family of God. Now, think about this. What's our response to this? Be thankful for the redemption in Jesus Christ. Be thankful that he came to the earth, that he was born in Bethlehem, he lived the perfect life, he kept the law, fulfilling it, and then he paid the penalty of the law, dying in our place, redeeming us. Let me say this. There may be somebody out there today that's never understood this. If you're here this today and you've never understood this, right where you're sitting right now, you can put your faith in Jesus Christ, who has redeemed you, who paid the penalty for you. He died for you, paid for sins, and rose again. And he offers the gift of eternal life. And anyone in this room who have never trusted Christ, right where you're sitting right now, you can say, Lord, I trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe he died and rose again for me. And I'm trusting in him to give me eternal life. Thank you for redeeming me. Anybody can do that anytime. If you've trusted Christ today, let me know. I'd love to know. There's a second thing. We need to make known the Savior. We need to go into this community and this world at Christmas time, not with a message of happy holidays, but Merry Christmas, because we're celebrating the birth of the Savior of the world. We're celebrating the birth of the one who came to redeem us and to make us his children. We're celebrating the greatest message ever, that God loved the world, that he gave his son. He became a person so he could die and rise again for us. So when we go out and we talk about Christmas, let's talk about what the real meaning of Christmas is. Finally, the last thing, let's live as a child of God. Remember, he's made us children of God. We get to call God Daddy. So let's live out who we are. Let's walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. We're children of God. Let's live in this community as righteous, holy children of God, so that when we do, when we live righteously, it will glorify our Father, and people will want to know what makes you different, and we get to tell them about Jesus.